I have the privilege of going through Juz'at number 18, which was just read for all of us. And I'd like to, so first off, this Juz'at starts with the chapter 23 called The Believers or Al-Mu'minun. It spans the entire surah, and then it goes to Surah An-Nur and concludes at Al-Furqan number 20. And so there's a lot that is covered here. And so I've taken the liberty of really focusing on the three main areas that really catch my attention. First off is the standards of the believers and the standards of the people who are following, who are really trying to live and be and follow the message of the Quran. And then the second is what to do with doubt. And the third is an insight into God, specifically the powers and the grace of God. And so to start off with the standards of the believers, I especially pinpoint this out is because number one, it's the first part of this, the very first part of the surah. And to read a translation, it says that the faithful have succeeded, those who pray humbly, who shun frivolity, who pay the prescribed alms, who guard their chastity. And then it continues, those who are faithful to their trusts and their pledges, and who keep up their prayers that are given. And I think prayers are actually mentioned twice, just in this one little cluster. And the first time prayer is mentioned, it's mentioned that we should approach prayer with humility. And the second time it's mentioned is that we keep our prayers as they're given. And as I've been trying to juggle and working full time and raising children to be resilient in this time of great uncertainty, it really, this particular cluster of verses really, really sits in a strong way with me, because it's a roadmap for how I can not only behave, but also how I can really take in these difficult moments. And some of the mindfulness and the different resources that I've been reading talk about how it's really important to section off your day and have these different parts of that you can look forward to. Some people will say like it's a cup of tea. It's something that grounds you and moves you through. And it's what's so beautiful to me in the tradition of Islam is that we have the five daily prayers, and we have the wudu, and we have this section of our day that is prescribed and actually is there to help and to guide us, especially in this time of uncertainty and even in times when we feel a little bit more confident. But there's this really critical and important tool, and it's mentioned twice, just in this very small section. It's mentioned many other times throughout this juz'ah, but especially want to point this part out. And then so to really kind of dive more into the standards of the believers, if we're to be part of the faithful and to really embrace the message of Islam, God is saying that we need to be grateful, to humble ourselves, to always give, and that we should not burden, and that the burdens that we come across are never going to be greater than we can bear, but that we should especially stay in a state of contemplation of the word of God and to really sit with it, to think about the different elements that are, and the messages that are in the Quran and the messages that come from God. And that the truth in accordance to, there's this verse that says, truth in accordance to with their desires. If we were to put them together between people's desires and the truth itself, people's desires would take over the entirety of the heavens and the earth and everything that is there. And so we should be especially aware of how our desires take up so much of ourselves, and that overcoming our desires during this especially month of Ramadan is a really critical tool for us to be able to live as believers and people who really truly believe, so that we can put our desires aside and really focus on enriching our faith and our belief. And then of course, there's the focus on blessings, but that God's creation is completely all intentional. There's not one piece of creation that isn't intentional, and that we can take away so much when we just sit and contemplate about that intentionality, about the water that is given and granted to us and that gives life to so many other things that we eat and we consume and we benefit from, and that cattle is something that we ride and we eat and we also benefit from, and that God can ultimately take away everything that God has already given us. And that again is a place where humility comes in. And then towards the beginning here, it talks about how we are all made from clay. We come from clay, and eventually we will die. And eventually there will be a day of reckoning. But to remember that we have humble beginnings, that as amazing as our accomplishments may be, that truly to fully be in state of belief is to remember and be fully mindful of our own humility. Then the verses talk a lot about doubt, specifically mentioning Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and other prophets like Jesus, etc., and may peace and God's blessings be upon him. And it says that we should especially be focusing on praising God, and even when we hear the sounds of individuals who have wicked intentions, our belief in God is what will carry us through this. And I want to especially focus on this idea of doubt. So doubt would be different than contemplation, because contemplation is absolutely encouraged, as we're supposed to think about and contemplate and really put a lot of energy into things, which to me means questions, it means answering questions, it means just really sitting with the treasure that is the Quran. But doubt, when we're talking about doubting that there will be a day of reckoning and doubting the message of God that is incredibly clear, that's what eventually can destroy us and can destroy everything from within. But what's fascinating to me is that this tool of doubt, which is so awful that so many different prophets have to face, the response to doubt is to repel evil with what is better. Now, this isn't the first time the Quran mentions repelling evil with what is better, but that's the response that we're supposed to really take on when we are faced with these questions of doubt and people doubting us and not knowing where to go or what to do, to repel evil with what is better, and to say that I seek refuge in the Lord. I seek refuge in God. And that it actually says you should say these specific words. And I think of when I am especially in my hardest states of doubt, when I don't know what is coming next, that when I say I seek refuge in God, so many times God has come and answered in ways that have struck me. It's like knowing what's inside of the heart, which God actually says that God knows what's inside of our hearts, and he knows what's going on in and around us always. And then finally, it ends with the third thing that really strikes me in Juzah 18 is the power and the grace of God. So it says that God is forgiving and God is merciful. Do we not want God to forgive us? And so it begs the question, if we want God's forgiveness, should we not give forgiveness and grant it to others? And God is the truth that makes everything clear. God brings clarity to our lives, especially in times of uncertainty. And that God's bounty is infinite, and that God is always all-knowing. God is swift in reckoning, and God grants us security when we feel fear. Grants us security when we feel fear, especially when we pray and when we give. And then finally, that God grants heaven for those who are mindful of God. Really focusing at the very end of this juz', that sabr, that really holding patience is what we should be trying to seek, because God sees all. And so here we have it. We have these really important high standards for the faithful, how to wrestle with doubt and how to deal with doubt and how it's different from contemplation, but especially what our response to doubt should be about repelling evil with what is better. And then an insight into the power and the grace of God and how we can try to live to a much higher standard as we try to seek the mercy and the forgiveness of the Almighty. I did skip one thing that I especially also want to make sure that I don't go over, is that during especially Surat An-Nur, which talks about a time when Aisha, may God rest her soul and peace be upon her, was falsely accused by a companion who was traveling alone with her. You can read more into it. But she was falsely accused. And then the Quran actually says, for those people who it tells us to guard our chastity. But if people don't guard their chastity and they overexceed their limits, then it prescribes a very harsh punishment. But then also so it's a very strong and an important moral code. But then the Quran also says that if someone falsely accuses, if someone accuses someone of adultery, they get 80% of what the adulterer or adulteress is supposed to get in terms of punishment, and their word can no longer be taken. They can no longer testify. And I think towards the beginning of this cluster of verses, it says that for the believers to be able to, this high standard that we're all supposed to live up to, it says that we're supposed to keep our pledges to be trusted people. And so for the Quran to actually say, not only do they get severe punishment, they also cannot be, their words cannot be taken seriously. They can't be taken as witnesses, I think is a really huge strike and a humbling strike for anyone who wants to be a true believer. And to remember there are high standards for belief, and that if we're going to accuse someone of this, like in the case of adultery, if someone's going to accuse you of something like that, you have to produce four witnesses. And if you don't produce those four witnesses and that high standard, then you open yourself up to having to go through this. So is the burden of proof big enough to accuse somebody? I would venture to say, I think not. And then it also continues to say that if you promote something or you hear something and you don't verify the truth, that it is true, you shouldn't speak it again. And you should actually speak up against it and question it. And that's an important part of being a believer. And so with that, I ask God to open our hearts this Ramadan, to help us become stronger believers, more cognizant of who we are, what we are, and what we want to be in this world. I ask God to help us maintain our humility and to live it, and to be mindful of God's blessings always, and to hold the burden of being able to uphold a higher level for society, in making sure that we are constantly repelling evil with what is better. And I ask God to continue keeping us focused on the bigger prize, and the bigger prize of taking care of one another and not speaking ill of one another, and to continue to think about God and God's forgiveness and mercy, and to live forgiveness and mercy in our own lives as we continue. I ask God to help us focus on our blessings, but especially to hold sabr and patience in our hearts as God sees everything. Thank you so much for listening. Assalamu alaikum.